The latest book from author Mike Pelacek, Johnny Moon. I've read JFK Assassination Fiction by Don DeLillo and Norman Mailer and can tell you that this new novel not only is Mike's best book yet, it's much better than DeLillo's and Mailer's efforts to do justice to the most important event in U.S. history. Kevin Barrett, American activist and radio host. Johnny Moon tells the story of a third grader in a Catholic school who wants to do what President John F. Kennedy asked us all to do. Johnny has told his classmates he wants to go to the moon. In fact, he wants to be the first one on the moon. And so the kids brand him with the nickname Johnny Moon. Sister M&M's is Johnny's teacher. Her sister was in Dallas that day, right up close to the limousine, taking pictures just as it happened. She saw some things that did not get reported back in Johnny's hometown Daily News. Sister M&M's and Johnny and the third grade Sacred Heart class decide to tell the truth about what happened. Harvey Wasserman on Johnny Moon. Mike Pelacek is a master of mixing the ethos of the heartland with great moments in history. His Johnny Moon evokes that time in our national story when getting to our favorite satellite was mated with the generation's coming of age. Order your copy of Johnny Moon at createspace.com. Order your copy of Johnny Moon at createspace.com. The latest book from author Mike Pelacek, Johnny Moon. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the new American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
It's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
And now, coming to you live from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in Duluth, Minnesota, Dreaming the New American Dream, with your hosts, Chuck Gregory and Mike Pelacek.
Welcome to the New American Dream Radio Show. You know, my wife Lorraine and I have had some interesting mishaps in cooking recently. You don't always fully appreciate how nice it is when your culinary creation comes out the way you plan it. But when things happen to get in the way of it, you look back and realize how spoiled you were. Last month, making use of the nice, clean, and roomy kitchen in our new apartment, Lorraine made a special Italian dish. I guess it's kind of an eggplant lasagna, for lack of a better description. There's eggplant on the bottom, lasagna noodles and layers, lots of different kinds of cheeses. Oh, it was so good. The glass casserole dish she used is huge, so it took at least 3 weeks for the two of us to finish it all. I vowed that the next time she made it, I'd freeze some so we didn't have to keep having it every other meal, but it was really good. This month, she decided to make the same thing for a church dinner. Ran into a little bit of a snag. See, she bought this stuff. It was called manteca. It's a little store near us. She thought it was some kind of a cheese that was at a great price. But it turns out what manteca translates to lard. And between the lard and the olive oil, man, that thing was sliding around. I kept having to pour off oil. I didn't remember doing that last month. You know, it came out of the oven. I kept having to pour off oil. And that didn't seem right. But we finally figured it out before we took it over to the church dinner. And we told people there about it. They all had a great laugh at our expense. We managed to kind of remake it for our own use, but you know, it's not quite right. But we heated it up and poured off some more oil and did that a few times, added some cheese, and it's not bad, but it wouldn't be right for guests. It goes for a pretty good story, though. I wouldn't have told tale on my wife there if I hadn't managed to make my own mistake. It was just about as bad. Here's how that went. We had this really nice beef roast, 4 or 5 pounds, something like that, kind of a London broil cut. I cooked in that same casserole dish that Lorraine had been using. Broiled the roast on both sides, while nuking some potatoes to go around it. And after I had it nicely seared, top and bottom, changed the oven to bake, and I took the dish out of the oven to add the potatoes around the roast. Looking really good. But there's only a little bit of meat juice for the potatoes to soak up. I thought I really needed to add a little bit of water to keep everything moist and maybe make some gravy. Note to self, do not add water to a hot glass dish. Even if the water is hot, it won't be hot enough. Glass was everywhere. I'd ride up to the little store and get a foil pan and really carefully transfer the meat and potatoes over to inspecting the bottom of each one for glass. Finally got it all put back in the oven after 20 minutes. I'm just glad I had taken this dish out of the oven before I tried that, because it would have been a real mess of what was inside there. The roast ended up tasting really good, by the way. But that dish that I broke, that was one my mom had that when she moved to an assisted living facility earlier this year. I got some of the dishes from over there. So I feel like it was her dish. I really hate her to see it end up in 100 pieces. Anyway, that's the way things have been going here in Fort Lauderdale. And now, my friend and co-host, Mike Palachuk.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight we're going to welcome Robert Lindsay. He's in Madera, California. He's a blogger, along with other things. And also Dean Henderson. He's been on the show before. Dean is in the Ozarks of Missouri. The news of the day storyline goes on. It's like a book you can skim, and the details seem not important. We have the chore or opportunity, however you might see it, to view this from close up. And this being, to me, is the run-up to the totalitarian takeover of the United States. I mean, that sounds crazy, doesn't it? But I think that's where we are. So I'm going to take a shot and say that's where we are. A couple of others who have gone through this in years past, where Sophie Scholl, she was a member of the White Rose Resistance in Nazi Germany, the 1930s, 20s and 30s. And William Shire was a correspondence for Edward R. Murrow, his news group, and he wrote he had the Berlin Diary, was his radio show in Berlin. It was up and including the years of the Nazi takeover, and he also wrote The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich. He was in the belly of the beast from 1933 to 1941, and I have quite a long quote here which I want to read, but I think he's talking about Germany, but I think you could take this and put it into Duluth. You could take it what people are like in Duluth or any part of America today. A steady diet over the years of falsifications and distortions made a certain impression on one's mind and often misled it. No one who has not lived for years in a totalitarian land can possibly conceive how difficult it is to escape the dead consequences of a regime's calculated and incessant propaganda. Often in a German home or office, or sometimes in casual conversation with a stranger in a restaurant, a beer hall, or a cafe, I would meet with the most outlandish assertions from seemingly educated and intelligent persons. It was obvious they were parroting some piece of nonsense they had heard on the radio or read in the newspapers. Sometimes one was tempted to say as much, but on such occasions, one was met with such a stare of incredulity, such a shock of silence, as if one had blasphemed the Almighty, that one realized how useless it was even to try to make contact with a mind which had become warped and for whom the facts of life had become what Hitler and Goebbels, with their cynical disregard for truth, said they were. I think my impression is that the Soviets, going to the Soviets now from Germany, that the Soviets knew, well, in the 60s, the times of Soviet rule that we dealt with, I think the people there knew that their news was a fake. That's the impression I get. The impression I get of us is that we have no idea about this. I'd now like to go to The Sparrow Sings. It's a newsletter. It's a internet letter, email letter that is sent out by a couple in the Milwaukee Catholic Worker. It's by Roberta and Donna Roberta Thurston. And just a little bit of it says, "It does not make sense to pay for something you do not want. That is why Roberta and I have always refused to pay for war. War is hell, and those who support it and engage in it create hell. We do not want hell, nor do we want to pay for the way of those who want to make hell in order to give hell to others in another country. We do not want to cooperate with the corrupt, hellish system that creates wealth for a few who profit from war and weapons and tells the economically poor to go to hell. We believe in giving people heaven or happiness that can be achieved only through nonviolence and love of all, including those deemed our enemies by our government. To support war is to waste lives, money, and resources. It is to want misery for people both here and abroad. It is to want hell on earth. We have the option to make this planet a heaven or a hell. It is up to us. The way we use our money will determine the outcome." And that's Don and Roberta Thurston talking about their refusal to pay taxes. I'd also like to put in a plug for the National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee newsletter. If you just Google National War Tax Resistance Coordinating Committee, or else Google the name Carl Meyer, K-A-R-L-M-E-Y-E-R. He is a longtime tax resister. Another Google search that I would want to throw out there is Franz Jagerstatter. Jagerstatter. He was a peasant just a regular person in Nazi Germany, and he refused to join the army, and he was beheaded. But his story is incredible. And this is a quote by Sophie Scholl, who was also guillotined. She and her husband, her brother Hans, they were found distributing anti-war leaflets at the University of Munich, and they lost their lives for that. This is her quote. "The real damage is done by those millions who want to survive, the honest men who just want to be left in peace, those who don't want their little lives disturbed by anything bigger than themselves, those with no sides and with no causes, those who don't like to make waves or enemies. If you keep it small, you'll keep it under control. If you don't make any noise, the boogeyman won't find you, but it's all an illusion. Because they die too, those people who roll up their spirits into tiny little balls so as to be safe. Safe from what? Life is always on the edge of death. Narrow streets lead to the same places, wide avenues, and a little candle burns itself out just like a flaming torch does. I choose my own way to burn. That's Sophie Scholl. We out here in the dark of night with the music blaring in the background from life in pre-fascist America on the brink. We have lots of examples to follow, both bad and good. We do know that having courage does not mean not being afraid. It means doing what you need to do even though you are afraid. We, most of the time, when we think of brave people like William Shire or Sophie Scholl, Franz Jagersdotter, or Donna Roberta Timmerman, we imagine them as not being afraid of just going backward, never, just going forward, never backward. Well, we also cannot be afraid.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org.
They say it's going to rain. They say you should not eat that stuff, but you should eat this. Who the hell are they to tell me what to eat and drink and whether I should take my umbrella to the game? Because they also got the United States into World War II and Korea and Vietnam. They're assholes. You ever met a they? You probably didn't know it, but you could feel it. It's cold. Like if there's a ghost in the room. It feels like the creeps. Feels like it feels in a scary movie just before some head appears in the dark window. You might have felt it sitting next to Uncle Reginald at the Thanksgiving table. They did 9/11. They control the world. They killed JFK. They killed RFK. They killed Paul Wellstone, Martin Luther King Jr. They control what we see on TV, radio, and in the newspaper. They. This sentence is brought to you by me, sent out to you, that we might become we, in the hope that someday we can conquer they. That someday we will decide ourselves whether or not to eat broccoli or bomb the world or kill Martin Luther King Jr. When you pay your taxes to the United States government for its military, you get depressed. When you get depressed, you can listen to Barry Manilow. When you listen to Barry Manilow, you have dreams about Mandy Johnson in the chicken shed in 1978. When you have dreams about Mandy Johnson in the chicken shed in 1978, you wake up to try to find Mandy Johnson on Facebook. When you try to find Mandy Johnson on Facebook, you drive to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska. Find out the Chicken Shed is now the Chicken Shed Restaurant. Mandy Johnson is the owner, and she's been eating chicken and mashed potatoes 9 times a day since 1979. You have to crawl out the tiny window of the men's restroom to escape from Scottsbluff. Don't have to crawl out the tiny window of the men's restroom to escape from Scottsbluff. Join the National War Tax Resistance Community.
Indian names for white guys. Sits on sofa. Drinks his beer, eats his chips, mows his lawn, drives his car, goes to work, sits on sofa, goes to bed. That's about it. For this, we rape the land and kill the people. We kill anything that moves to protect our way of life, eating while watching TV in the dark. Yeah, that's right. Indians have some names for white guys. Now I'd like to welcome our first guest. Robert Lindsay is in Madera, California. He is a blogger, among many other things. Robert, are you there?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Hi.
Robert, you don't know me, but I contacted you because I had read your blog, and I think I had heard you as a guest on maybe looking Bigfoot tonight, and I just thought you are a very interesting person. I just wanted to visit with you. How are you doing?
Good. This is the Mike Palachek show, is that correct?
I am Mike Palachek, but it's the New American Dream radio show with Chuck Gregory.
New American Dream. Okay. All right.
Yep.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the show. I'm doing fine.
Your blog is, do you write that every day?
Most days. Not every single day, but most days. I also have a co-blogger, too, a woman that works with me.
What else do you do? Is this, what else do you do during the day?
You mean for work? This is about it. I just live off a trust fund. I basically just permanently retired or something, you know. I don't have to work.
Well, that's cool. I see in your bio you graduated with a BA in journalism from California State and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. You must have.
I have a master's.
You're an activist.
Also. Yeah, I have a master's.
Pardon me?
I have a master's degree also.
And you're also interested in something that I'm very much interested in, and that's Bigfoot. When did you come to find your interest in Bigfoot?
I'd always been interested in the Patterson film, of course, but then over the years, you know, my interest kind of waned, and I wasn't really sure if it was really real or not. Remember the Nobby video out of, I think it was North Carolina? It got a lot of play on the, it was a fake, it got a lot of play on the TV, and then I ended up going to the what's Moneymaker's site? Bigfoot,
BFRO.
Yeah, I ended up going to the BFRO site, and I just totally got back into it. I started reading all this stuff, and I started thinking, "Wow, Bigfoot is real again," you know. And then I just totally delved into it. And the way my mind works, I'm just a totally obsessive person. And when I get into something, I just get into it completely, totally, absolutely, 100%. And pretty soon, I did so much research. I practically became a mini expert on Bigfoot or something just from all the reading I was doing. And then I ended up just kind of putting a lot of stuff together through just via open source online information. I started writing about the Erickson Project and the Ketchum Project, and I started getting some kind of interesting scoops out of it. But there wasn't any original, anybody could have found this information. It was all out there on the internet, but it was just really hard to find, and I'm good at just taking things and putting them all together and getting the whole picture. And then I started getting people coming and talking to me and emailing me and phoning me, and they were saying, is that you, Adrian? That must be you're Adrian, right? You're Adrian Erickson. Because I knew too much. They're just saying, how do you know all this? You know too much. You got it. You figured it out. You know what's going on here. And then people started giving me scoops about the Ketchum, the Melba Ketchum's DNA project. People were involved in that. And then the Erickson Project with the videos. I ended up taking a field trip up in California with a guy. And then another guy scooped me on the story about the two Bigfoots getting shot in the Sierra Nevada of California by Justin Smeya. And then I broke that story, and I later met Justin, and on and on.
So you're a believer.
I believe so. I think it's got to be true, you know? It's got to be true. I'm getting worried about this DNA study, though.
To those folks who aren't, totally up to date with every detail about the Bigfoot community, can you just kind of tell them why they should believe in Bigfoot? Somebody who says, well, it can't be true, they haven't found it yet.
Well, I know people worked on Melba Ketchum's DNA project, and the leaks coming out of that project say that she has sequenced DNA that's presumptive for Bigfoot. She has 100 different samples that have all tested positive for this sequence, this unknown hominid sequence. And the samples come from like 28 separate individuals, and they're gathered from all over the country, and they include a flesh sample with hair on it that was cut off one of the dead Bigfoots. So she has a piece of a dead Bigfoot. and it's been tested, and she supposedly claims that it's an unknown sequence that's unknown to mankind that looks human, but it's not human. And she's got a whole bunch of them that line up. And I believe her.
When will the general public hear about that stuff?
I don't know. Supposedly, if that study, it's in peer review and she's trying to get it published. And if she doesn't ever get it published, I don't know if we're ever going to hear about it. It should be out no later than May 1st. If it's not out by May 1st, just forget it. Hang it up. Right now, Richard Stubstad is doing a parallel study, though, over in Europe, and they've got some samples, too, including a bone, an ulnar bone that I think is probably from a Bigfoot. I also believe Adrian Erickson and all of he spent $3 million, and he bought up these habituation sites where people claimed that there was Bigfoots on the property, and he sent Lila Hodge-Cheek, who is a Ph.D., in biology from Yale out there, and Dennis Bowle out there as a videographer, and they lived at this place in Kentucky, and Lila and Dennis saw the Bigfoots many, many times, and I believe them. But she's not lying. She's a PhD in biology. She's not going to ruin her career and lie about this. And they shot a bunch of video of them, too. And Dennis isn't a liar either. And Adrian's not lying either. They're not lying. And my friends have seen the video, too. And the video is killer. It's out of this world. It's better than the Patterson film. It's full facial footage. And people are saying.
And when will that come out?
I don't think it could. I don't know. It's supposed to be released in tandem with the DNA study. And if the DNA study is never released, I don't know. I don't know. But right now they're in Hollywood working on it, getting it all together. But there's a Bigfoot there named Matilda at that place in Crittenden, Kentucky. And they filmed her, actually. They filmed her, and the people who lived there filmed her also. And there's a movie of her walking right towards the camera. It's full facial footage. It's a close-up. It's high definition, too. I just don't believe these people are lying. They're not lying. They're not making all this up. Forget it, man. And there's DNA from those sites, too, from the Erickson video, from the Kentucky site. There's DNA that goes along with the video. They got blood from the Bigfoot's fingers. And that's, Ketchum says that tested positive for a Bigfoot.
Do you think they're more ape-like or human-like?
It's a human. It's a prehistoric man. Is basically what it is. You know, like the things like the Java man and the Neanderthal man and all that. Well, they never went extinct. I guess I know it seems too incredible. I don't believe anybody for saying that they don't believe me, because it's totally insane. But apparently, some of these subhuman things never went extinct, and these things are apparently hybrids. And the female line is 100% human, and the male line is some sort of a subhuman or something. So some kind of subhuman, weird subhuman thing bred with human females, and they created these Bigfoots. Maybe about 15,000 to 50,000 years ago. They're extremely shy. They're covered with hair. They're like us, but they're not us. It's like a Neanderthal man or something. You know, it's a prehistoric man, something like that. It's not an ape. I know.
Right. We only have 10 minutes, and it's not very long. And I apologize for that, but I'd like to thank you for being on, and I hope that we can. Maybe you'll be able to come on in another couple months, so maybe we can talk about some more stuff, if that's okay with you.
Great. So you usually talk about politics on here, is that correct?
Yeah, politics and Bigfoot every time I get a chance, because that's why I was talking with you about it, because I'm interested. I just don't get a chance to talk about Bigfoot too much. So, yes, we're interested in all kinds of stuff, 9/11 and politics and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd like to expand that with you if we get a chance, again, if you'd like to come back on.
Sure, yeah, sure. I also know the guy who shot two of them, too, and I believe his story, actually.
Okay, well, we'll get into that. And I want to thank you, Robert, for taking time, and we'll see you again soon.
Okay, bye.
WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust First, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com.
This announcement is from the real church. Ezekiel, Jehovah, Jeremiah, Zizaphat, and Zuzaphone. Who is that? Who can she? Who can I know? His magic sheep show. Someone saw somebody as walking past the town fountain, and this golden lizard spoke us. Something about pigs and donkeys. Caleb's funky brand new something something. It. Say, what? What's that got to do with anything? Somebody's genealogy scrapbook project, some family history forever ago, and you memorize it, and what's it got to do with you today? You got up and you do it, Dennis, this and that. On some Tuesday morning, 2,000 years ago. Whoa, no kidding. Real church. Well, we're actually real. Read the pages to the nuclear resistor. Here's your gospel, real history, things happening today, people in trouble today, in prison today, people poor today. Take some bread to a poor family and have lunch, real communion, people struggling today, people needing a miracle today, people looking for an effing burning bush today, real church. God's real, she surely approves. She's been waiting us 1,000 years for a real church. Realchurch.com, licensed by nobody, sanctioned by nobody. It's real. It's relevant. And it might actually mean something. Who knows? And make sure to check out, starring in the new hit movie, Barack Obama, Special Agent 00 of Change. He flies. No, he crawls. He speaks. No, he lies. He saves the people. He does great things. No, he doesn't. Barack Obama, Special Agent 00. In theaters now, or not.
Hey there. You want to talk about things you can't talk about to anyone else? You can talk from the privacy of your own home, your own bedroom, your own garage. You can talk to someone who cares. You can get intimate, down and dirty. Phone intelligence. Are you tired of talking about stupid shit? Is there nobody in your home or at the office or in the cell block who really gets it? Do you live in Nebraska? Are you dying, melting, silently screaming for some intelligent conversation? You can call us. Haul out that big, long, multisyllabic honker. We've seen lots of big words. Phone intelligence. We get it. We don't scrunch our noses and tilt our heads like cats, looking at bugs on the screen when you quote a line from Bill Hicks. We're waiting right here just for you. You're not alone, baby. Not tonight.
And now, returning to the New American Dream Radio Show from the Ozarks of Missouri, Dean Henderson.
Hey, Mike, are you there?
Dean, this is Chuck. I hear that you're going to do a column for us tonight, so just have at it. Tell the people what you got to say.
Okay, Mike. Thanks for having me back. Yeah, I'll just read you my column for the week. I write once a week. My blog's called Left Hook, Just Google Dean Henderson or Left Hook, it'll get you there. But this week's column is called Illuminati Mind Control and the Report from Iron Mountain. And it's excerpted from my book, Big Oil and the Bankers in the Persian Gulf, Chapter 13, USS Persian Gulf. The Rothschild-led international banking cartel learned long ago that it was much easier to brainwash people than to face off with them in open combat. Over the past decades, these techniques, led by television, quote-unquote, programming, have become quite sophisticated. The U.S. tested numerous top-secret high-tech weapon systems in the Gulf War theater while utilizing some old low-frequency favorites. When Iraqi ground forces surrendered, many of them were in a state of delirium and lethargy that could have been induced by extremely low-frequency radio waves, which the U.S. used as a weapon as early as the Vietnam conflict. Yale University and CIA psychiatrist Dr. Jose Delgado studied mind control for the company during the 1950s as part of the MKUltra program. Delgado determined, quote, physical control of many brain functions is a demonstrated fact. It is even possible to create and follow intentions. By electronic stimulation of specific cerebral structures, movements can be induced by radio command or by remote control, unquote. According to a military document written by Colonel Paul Valley and Major Michael Aquino, titled From PSYOP to Mind War, The Psychology of Victory, the U.S. Army used an operational weapon systems, quote, to map the minds of neutral and enemy individuals and then to change them in accordance with U.S. national interests, unquote. The technique was used to secure the surrender of 29,276 armed Viet Cong and North Vietnamese Army soldiers in 1967 and 68. The U.S. Navy was also heavily involved in psychotronic research. Many U.S. soldiers who served near the DMZ that divided North and South Vietnam claimed to see UFOs on a regular basis. The Pentagon Papers revealed that an electronic barrier was placed along the DMZ by the secretive Jason Society. Major Michael Aquino was an Army PSYOP specialist in Vietnam, where his unit specialized in drug inducement, brainwashing, virus injection, brain implants, hypnosis, and use of electromagnetic fields and extremely low-frequency radio waves. After Vietnam, Aquino moved to San Francisco and founded the Temple of Set. Set is the ancient Egyptian name for Lucifer. Aquino was now a senior U.S. military intelligence official. He'd been given a top-secret security clearance on June 9, 1981. Less than a month later, an Army intelligence memo revealed that Aquino's Temple of Set was an offshoot of Anton LaVey's Church of Satan, also headquartered in San Francisco. Two other Set members were Willie Browning and Dennis Mann. Both were Army intelligence officers. The Temple of Set was obsessed with military matters and political fascism. It was especially preoccupied with the Nazi Order of the Trapezoid. Aquino's official job was history professor at Golden Gate College. The temple recruited the same Hell's Angels who Billy Mellon Hitchcock had used to dole out his bad CIA acid. Its members frequented prostitutes, where they engaged in all manner of sadomasochistic activities. Director of Army Counterintelligence Donald Press revealed that Dennis Mann was assigned to the 306 PSYOPS Battalion, and that Aquino was assigned to a top-secret program known as Presidio. Presidio is also the name of a spooky complex within the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, which Mikhail Gorbachev reportedly frequented as the Soviet Union was falling apart. Was Aquino part of an operation to map the mind of the Soviet Union's last leader and induce him into proposing both glasnost and perestroika, the two free market policies that ultimately led to the Soviet Union's demise? Remember the curious mark which suddenly appeared on Gorbachev's forehead? Was he implanted with some sort of microchip mind control device to make him think, quote, in accordance with U.S. national interests, unquote? Such Orwellian technology is marketed on a regular basis throughout the world. International Healthline Corporation and others sell microchip implants in the U.S., Russia, and Europe. The Humane Society has adopted a policy of microchipping all stray pets, and the state of Hawaii requires that all pets be microchipped. 6,000 people in Sweden have accepted a microchip in their hand, which they use for all purchases, and trials are also underway in Japan. In July 2002, National Public Radio reported a similar trial beginning in Seattle. Later in 2002, after a rash of suspicious abductions of young girls, the BBC reported that a British company plans to implant children with microchips so that their parents can monitor their whereabouts. Dr. Carl Sanders, a highly acclaimed electronics engineer, revealed that a microchip project he launched to help people with severed spinal cords was taken over by Bill Colby's Operation Phoenix in a series of meetings organized by Henry Kissinger. Sanders said the optimal spot for a microchip implant is just below the hairline on a person's forehead, since the device can be recharged by changes in body temperatures, which are most pronounced there. Interestingly, this is the location of the pineal gland, or third eye. The 1986 Immigration Control Act grants the president the power to mandate any kind of ID he deems necessary. Researchers at Southern California have developed a chip which mimics the hippocampus, a part of the brain that deals with memory. Pentagon officials are interested in using it in experiments to create a super soldier. Another microchip called BrainGate is being implanted in paralyzed people. It allows them to control their environment by simply thinking. The report from Iron Mountain. In 1961, Kennedy administration officials McGeorge Bundy, Robert McNamara, and Dean Rusk, all CFR and Bilderberger members, led a study group which looked into the problem of peace. The group met at Iron Mountain, a huge underground corporate nuclear shelter near Hudson, New York, where a CFR think tank, the Hudson Institute, is located. The bunker contains redundant offices in case of nuclear attack for ExxonMobil, Royal Dutch Shell, and J.P. Morgan Chase. A copy of the group's discussions, known as a report from Iron Mountain, was leaked by a participant and published in 1967 by Dial Press. The report's authors saw war as necessary and desirable, stating, quote, "War itself is the basic social system within which other secondary modes of social organization conflict or conspire. War is the principal organizing force, the essential economic stabilizer of modern societies," unquote. The group worried that through ambiguous leadership, the ruling administrative classes might lose their ability to rationalize a desired war, leading to the actual disestablishment of military institutions. The report goes on to say, quote, "The war system cannot responsibly be allowed to disappear until we know exactly what we plan to put in its place. The possibility of war provides a sense of external necessity without which no government can long remain in power. The basic authority of a modern state over its people resides in its war powers. War has served as the last great safeguard against the elimination of necessary classes," unquote. Historian Howard Zinn described this conundrum when he wrote, quote, "American capitalism needed international rivalry and periodic war to create an artificial community of interest between rich and poor, supplanting the genuine community of interest among the poor that showed itself in sporadic movements," unquote. The Iron Mountain Gang was not the first to discover the virtues of war. In 1909, the trustees of the Andrew Carnegie Foundation for International Peace met to discuss pre-World War I American life. Many of the participants were members of Skull and Bones. They concluded, quote, "There are no known means more efficient than war, assuming the objective is altering life, the life of an entire people. How do we involve the United States in a war?" Unquote. The report from Iron Mountain goes on to propose a proper role for those of the lower classes, crediting military institutions with providing, quote, "antisocial elements with an acceptable role in the social structure," unquote. Younger and more dangerous of these hostile social groupings have been kept under control by the selective service system. A possible surrogate for the control of potential enemies of society is the reintroduction in some form consistent with modern technology and political process of slavery. The development of a sophisticated form of slavery may be absolute prerequisite for social control in a world at peace, unquote. The Iron Mountain goons, though thrilled by the idea of slavery, listed as some other socioeconomic substitutions for war, a comprehensive social welfare program, a giant open-ended space program aimed at unreachable targets, a permanent arms inspection regime, an omnipresent global police and peacekeeping force, massive global environmental pollution, which would require a large labor pool to clean up, socially oriented blood sports, and a comprehensive eugenics program. The Iraqi genocide fulfilled the dreams of the Club of Rome zero population growth maniacs, while also providing a testing ground for two of the war substitutes proposed by the Iron Mountain fascists: an arms inspection regime and UN peacekeepers. Both concepts gained traction in the international community thanks to the Gulf War. While the international bankers wanted to punish and depopulate the Iraqi people for their stubbornly socialist leanings, which have historically kept the bankers' four horsemen oil tentacles out of the Iraqi oil patch, they wanted to keep Saddam Hussein in power so that his past despotism, his Panama, could be used as a pretext for U.S. permanent U.S. military occupation of the Persian Gulf oil patch. Just as Osama bin Laden would later prove useful to four horsemen designs in the Caspian Sea region, Saddam was the perfect villain in ensuring continued oligarchy hegemony over Persian Gulf oil reserves. And as I said, That comes from my book, Big Oil and Their Bankers in the Persian Gulf, and chapter 13, USS Persian Gulf. And again, my blog is called Left Hook, and just Google Dean Henderson, and I've written three different books, and I write a column every week, and you can subscribe for free. So thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for sharing that column with us, and we'll have you on again.
Great, Mike. I enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Good night.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being? That it has just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through the all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that all energy is free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American founder's vision? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. thespiritualun.org.
Box cutters, cave dwellers, jet fuel bringing down steel structures. They hate us because of our freedoms. Anyone who's not with us is against us. Osama bin Laden has been buried at sea. The CIA is known as the company. The CIA agents are called assets. The CIA, for the past 60-some years, 70 years, has killed, murdered, cheated, lied, duped, fooled, and disrupted anyone working anywhere for fairness for the poor. The CIA is the arm of American business. President John F. Kennedy saw this and said he was going to dismantle the CIA. They killed him. And then they fooled you, all of us. And we pay for the CIA with our tax dollars. We sit next to assets at church. We do not storm the CIA building and tear it down brick by brick. Box cutters. Cave dwellers. Osama bin Laden confessing on some tapes, somebody said, somebody found somewhere. Anthrax. Barack Obama elected. George Bush elected. Paul Wellstone's plane has crashed in a forest. Robert Kennedy was murdered and never became president. Martin Luther King, murdered, never brought poor people to occupy Washington to demand justice for the poor, taking money out of the pockets of the rich. It's all the CIA. Happy 10th anniversary, CIA, of your greatest achievement. Poverty's not the problem, it's the solution. The business of America is business. The CIA, the fist of American business for over 70 years. Apple pie, Chevrolet, baseball, grandma, it's all the CIA.
Nominations are currently being accepted to rename all the places we have named for horrible people. Ronald Reagan National Airport, the 10th Mountain Division Highway, 90th Infantry Division Highway, 173rd Airborne Brigade Memorial Highway, Gerald Ford Memorial Highway, George Bush Intercontinental Airport. If we are going to name things after famous bad people, then why not? Well, how about Ted Bundy National Cemetery, John Wayne Gacy International Airport, Jeffrey Dahmer Memorial Freeway, the Charles Manson Space Needle? Rather, hey, here's a thought. Why not name things for good people rather than terrible people? Why not Dan and Phil Berrigan International Airport, Dorothy Day Interstate, the Emma Goldman Freeway? Brought to you by Citizens for Naming Things After Good People Rather Than Horrible People. Well, it's been a long week in Mount Liberty, Nebraska, my hometown. Flags are at half staff at the post office and Bueller Chevrolet and the high school, and also Taco John's to commemorate and celebrate the upcoming anniversary of the death of Osama bin Laden, and also the burial at sea of Cruella de Vil, the Wicked Witch of the West, Captain Hook, buried at sea, and the Big Bad Wolf, buried at sea. Well, a while back, we heard some stories about Kate King, the daughter of Jack Robert King, the local internet radio show host. Well, Jack Robert is long gone, killed by the police, but Kate is still around, and she sent some transcripts of some of JRK's radio shows and some homemade notes to tell the story of their family. She sent it to the local newspaper, but they didn't want it. So she sent them to us.
Is this heaven? Nope, it's Nebraska, where everything good is bad. All the good stuff about this state is sour, bitter, spoiled. Because this state is for the war. These people are for the war. They support the troops, the war. They kill children and anyone else who gets in their way. They drive to Hy-Vee for the special on iceberg lettuce. And so all the ice cream and lollipops and haystack rides and painted ponies, they're all for shit. Somebody needs to bomb Nebraska. Somebody needs to send fighter planes and cruise missiles down Main Street, put giant craters in the outfield grass, down the perfect streets and avenues where all exposed sweetness and light. Children bouncing to and fro, wiener dogs yipping in rhyme, while on the other side of the world, the streets are ripped apart. Same with the children, the dogs. We think those ripped apart children are fine. We think we've torn the hearts and stomachs from those children for their own good. The electronic time and temperature sign at the Nebraska State Bank says, we support our troops. Every other car has a yellow sticker on the back that says, we support those darn troops fighting over there for our daggone freedom. Don't you hate those message signs in front of Nebraska churches? So trite, so patriotic. These people are not Christians. They have about as much awareness of who they are or where they're going as ants to a picnic. They march to church each Sunday thinking the feast is meant for them when they're merely pests. Folks in Nebraska will grumble and scuff their shoes all day long at a two-penny increase in gas prices. But a $40 billion bill for wars in Iraq and Afghanistan won't even get a mention at coffee time. The stupidity of Nebraskans cannot be adequately measured using today's available technology. If we did not use that $40 billion to kill children in Iraq and Afghanistan, we could have great schools, hospitals, railroads, insurance, candy for supper, whatever we want. Instead, we bomb kids. Pro-life, fanatical parents bombing kids so their own kids can't have a new school. What we need in this country is somebody on the left, somebody underground, under the front porch, in a subsidized rental apartment in Dayton, somewhere, to counter the propaganda minister of the state. He's currently running about 4 hours each afternoon on every Nebraska radio station. Rush Limbaugh is, of course, the Goebbels of the United States Empire, bought and paid for. We don't understand it, not yet. It'll take 50 years and more for it to sink in, but it's true nonetheless. Let me just leave you with this. The weight of the world is on your shoulders. You feel it, don't you? The world is waiting for you to do something, to be yourself. To be who you really are. Not some guy at the stop and go, grinning and chuckling at some joke about Iraqi cadavers melting in the sun on the streets of Palua. The guy who your Jesus or Buddha or Alan the Alien intended you to be. You were placed here by that entity like one of those football players on the electric boards of long ago to do a job. All you've been doing is buzzing, rattling, shaking, refusing to come out of the corner. The old lady sitting with her hair freshly done in their two hot houses on winter afternoons, still nagging husbands that are long gone, wondering if today's the day to swallow the pills, They watch you drive by with all the potential and good things you have that you don't even realize. They wonder when you're going to turn in to you. Well, this is Jack Robert King, and this is Looking for Bigfoot Radio, looking for the truth about America.
And that's the news from Mount Liberty, where all the soldiers are thugs, all the Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security COINTELPRO returning hummingbirds are about average.
That wraps up this week's New American Dream Radio Show. We thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again, same time, same place, every week. Right now, we hope you'll stay tuned for Black Op Radio with our show's producer, Lena Sanek. It's a great show. He always says something good to say. We'd like to thank June 2508, the book written by author James Boomey, who's one of our sponsors for our show. We'd like to thank WorldNewsTrust.com, the new mainstream in journalism. And we'd like to thank the Spiritual UN, looking for a better tomorrow. Thank you, and good night, Mike.
Good night, Chuck. Stay warm. And good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
What if we find that equality is the greatest gift that God gave humans? What if we find that no human being is an enemy of another human being if it's just been politics all along? What if all politics and politicians were jettisoned from our planet? What if we lived simply through our great principles and universal ideals? What if we flowed our human life through all-American founding of liberty and happiness for all? What if the American founding blueprint allowed us the right progress of all people, without sin for the religious and without error for the rational? What if we put money to work simply for the good stewardship of the planet and the caring of all people? What if our new oil on the planet is simply human creativity and that is all energy free, non-harmful, and universal? What if we governed ourselves without a master as the fulfillment of the American Founders version? What if we decided it was love's turn on the planet? Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us. Thespiritualun.org. WorldNewsTrust.com is a new site that is trying to define the new mainstream. Their founder, Francis Goodwin, is a veteran journalist who set out on his own a few years ago and has slowly carved out a niche. What does the site do? It tells the truth and provides a place for intelligent columnists to talk about what's really happening in America. It's a good site with people who care about what's going on in America and the world. It's a great site with many loyal writers, including Ramsey Baroud, Harvey Wasserman, Mickey Z. There are too many to list them all. Some content is published on World News Trust first, some is published elsewhere and copied to World News Trust. We also welcome back World News Trust, who continue to support our show and host our website. Visit World News Trust for a dose of news with enlightened and informed opinion. It's not like Fox or CNN or the New York Times. It's World News Trust, defining the new mainstream in online journalism. Visit them today and tell them the New American Dream Radio Show sent you. WorldNewsTrust.com. What does it mean to be free? What has the war economy done to the lives of Americans? Join others for all the solutions at thespiritualun.org, because another world is possible. No human being is an enemy of another human being. War is a manufactured and artificial state. There is another way to live in this world through a new system that is uplifting to all. Let's go to a higher love. What did Jesus really teach? Did he teach onward Christian soldiers and bomb one another? No. John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., Abraham Lincoln, our founding fathers, and you, your neighbors, all reaching for the best part of the human spirit. TheSpiritualUN.org, come together with us, carrying forward this nation's founders' universal ideals through the rejection of revenge, aggression, racism, war, and the debt slavery system. Real men don't kill. War and the debt slavery system is a crime against us all, against God, against all life, and is not fit for a progressive world. Join together here at thespiritualun.org and we will build that new world for the 99% of us, without any leaders, corrupt as they are, because in the new system that is uplifting to all, they aren't necessary anymore. thespiritualun.org.